My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, let's do that right now. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. And joining us for our second hour, we're taking you up to noon, but joining us for the second hour, Casey Pratt of ABC 7 in San Francisco. He was the MC of Fans Fest out in Oakland this weekend. Casey, my man, how was your experience out there in Oakland on Saturday?
Honestly, it was an unbelievable day. I showed up pretty early because I brought my wife and kids, full fam. We were going out to Fans Fest. As an MC of the event, I wanted to get there early, check in with everybody, make sure I beat all the crowds. One of the first people I saw there was you, Kyle.
Yeah, what
I'm
up?
Glad I caught up with you. I caught up with Balfour, caught up with Chris, caught up with Trevor May, all the organizers. And then around 11 o'clock, I went outside and I saw like the gates just starting to open. And you know, with an event like this, you kind of wonder like how many people are actually going to show up? How many people are really going to be here? Is it going to look great? Is it going to look bad for us? What's happening? Went back inside, came back out at 11:20-ish to like start the festivities on stage. And I was like, whoa, there's so many people here. It was crazy. And it only filled in more and more as the day went. So, dude, I was blown away by the whole thing.
Casey, how many people do you think were there?
It's really hard to say. I think what people need to understand is like, if you look at the selfie I posted from the stage, it was just a sea of humanity. But that was just the straight shot. Like all the way to the left, the street was closed with vendors. All the way to the right, the street was closed with vendors. And then right inside Block 51 was a whole other stage with a whole other arena, like full of people, a club just packed with more people. So it had to have been at least 10,000. I think the estimates are like 10 to 15. But it's, I don't know. I actually have never seen an official number. All I can say is there was more beer than we thought anybody could possibly drink. And all the beer got drank up.
It was incredible. Dude, it was a great deal.
I feel
like
$20
to get a souvenir cup and three beers.
Oh,
yeah, I'm in there.
I feel like Kyle was part of that. The beer disappearing.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Sell the team, dude.
So, Casey, one of the things that I couldn't help but think, because I was with you, man. I was literally standing right in the middle when I heard one of the organizers' walkie talkies go, "All right, it's go time." And the barriers got moved and everybody started coming in and just kind of sitting there watching as all these people coming in, wearing their A's gear, supporting the city of Oakland and showing that, like, I mean, what everybody kind of knows at this point, the fans aren't the problem. But what I kind of come back to now that I'm down back on earth here, is there any kind of tangible benefit to this in terms of the relocation or the potential for an expansion team? Or was this just straight up a celebration of the city and of baseball fans in the city?
I think first and foremost, it was just a celebration of the community, Oakland sports in whole. I mean, we're talking Oakland Roots, we're talking Oakland Ballers, Oakland Soul, all the other teams that were out there. But what it did do was send a very clear message, and you see all the national people talking about it today, that there are fans here, right? Like, they will show up. If you invest in these people, they will invest back in you. And this team has been famously disinvested in for as long as many people can remember. So yes, you actually invest, people will show up out here. Like, you have to go back to the late 80s, early 90s to when this team was really actually truly invested in. The Haas family, they had one of the highest payrolls in baseball. They had one of the highest attendances in baseball at that very same Oakland Coliseum. It's all about what you're doing. Do you invest in the people or not? And now you see the A's current ownership group not only not investing, but blocking and turning off the replies on every post they make. This is the exact opposite of investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's not just that stuff, the social media stuff. For me, I mean, it's systematically they've destroyed the fan base by trading players every single time someone gets good and never paying anyone real money. And we can go all the way back to, you know, I think Ricky Henderson was the first player to make $2 million in Major League Baseball. And then Kirby Puckett gets a deal for like $2.5 million that year. And then Jose Canseco gets a $3 million deal that summer. And it becomes like that's when baseball salaries start taking off. Well, A's fans are so attached to guys like Ricky Henderson, to guys like Jose Canseco, and you know, the guys from the glory years. And it's not because they were just so great, because they were, but it's more because they haven't been able to pay a star and to keep somebody. I think what the last person to really get paid was Eric Chavez. And that's so far, so long ago. And so from someone who covered the Sacramento Kings, when they did this same exact thing, they started running the lowest payroll in the NBA for years. They find a way to crush their fans in a different way. And I don't know, how do you feel about that? And I think that's, even if they move to Vegas, you need new ownership. Because this group has proven that they aren't willing to put up the money to build a fan base.
Yeah, I mean, they systematically dismantled this entire fan base. Every single player that people got attached to, they traded away. 6 years, $66 million. I was driving my car in college when they signed Eric Chavez to that deal, James.
And you're,
I mean,
super,
it's been
old,
that long.
So.
So, I mean, it's crazy. But yes, they dismantled the fan base, and then they point to that as the reason why they have to leave. Like, look what the fans are doing. They're not coming to our games. It's like, you guys did this to yourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So at what point does MLB wake up and realize there is a sleeping giant here? There's tons of money here. Let somebody that wants to own the team buy the team. You can't buy something that's not for sale. That's what I keep getting told.
Right.
If the team was for sale, Joe Lacob would buy it in a heartbeat. He wants the A's. Let someone like him buy the team. Let him revitalize this franchise. You saw what he did when he bought the Warriors. They're in a very similar place to the A's, a team that had a lot of losing, a lot of trouble. He got them into a juggernaut. Let him do that. And then if Fisher and Cavill want to keep going down that Vegas path, fine. When they're ready, expand. And then they don't have to be a nomadic franchise for 3 years talking about, oh, Sacramento or Salt Lake City or Oakland, or where are we going to play? We don't know. I mean, why are we even doing this to ourselves?
Casey Pratt of ABC7 out there in the Bay Area. What was the vibe? Coco Crisp was in the building. Trevor May was in the building. Grant Balfour was there as well. What was the vibe from the players, the former players, on either their experience with the franchise then or the fact that they're leaving Oakland?
I mean, all the players, especially the ones that came out on stage, on the big stage with us towards the end, like Balfour, Chris, May, they all looked out and were like, man, I can't believe they're thinking of leaving this. Yeah. And what was really cool is like seeing Grant Balfour, for example, who looks like he can still pitch right now. He's incredible.
Great shape.
Like, his shape is nuts. He could go out there and just meet the people and be in front of them and get all that love back that he hasn't had in a while from this fan base. just seeing them in person. He went out there, he signed autographs for as long as I can think. He went out into the crowd and just hung out with them. At one point, he left the venue completely and just walked all around the streets because he wanted to see it all. You could tell he was really soaking it in. Same with Coco Crisp. There's a lot of moments where I went down the stairs or in and out of the VIP area, and you'd see them just standing there, like with a whole sea of people around them, and just talking and signing and hanging out. You could tell it really like filled their cup, so to speak. Trevor May said the same thing. It was just really nice to be back in front of the people.
Yeah,
Casey, I want to ask you, is there a way for fans to maybe fire back at John Fisher here? And it's something that I haven't seen all that much of, but like, this is a guy who owns clothing companies. His family owns, you know, Gap and Old Navy and all of these. Why has that not been sort of a focus of ire? And is there a possibility that you can start showing your displeasure for him by boycotting some of his brands and some of the things that's made his family so much money?
I mean, you could do that. I think a lot of fans probably already do that. But yeah, it's been mostly focused on the sport and less on the Gap or the business. Obviously, there's been a lot of Gap jokes because there's been a lot of financing gaps in this whole ordeal. But
of course,
yeah, I think that a lot of people are already doing that. And I don't even know if it makes that big of a difference at this point, because if you look at his Gap stock, it's gone down a lot. It's gone down a lot. So his finances aren't what they used to be. And keep in mind, there was a global pandemic in the middle of the entire A's stadium plan. So the entire thing has changed at this point. It seems like he's kind of just holding on for dear life, hoping that something materializes in Vegas, hoping the Vegas power players push this across the finish line, hoping that Major League Baseball helps push this across the finish line. Because at this point, the problem all along is that he's looked everywhere but his own wallet for the money to get a deal done. You can get something done quickly if you're paying for it. If you're asking everybody else to pay for it, then yeah, it's going to take a while. And that's kind of the problem. He doesn't want to step up and foot the bill for things. In the Chronicle, John Shea talked to Joe Lacob a while back. He said, if I was doing this, I would do it at Howard Terminal, and I would have just paid for all the infrastructure. Just done it all. Because at that point, you can get a shovel in the ground quickly.
Right.
The A's have waited and waited and waited because they're just trying to drag and claw and scratch as much public money out of every market they go to. They showed up in Vegas. They asked for $380 million. They're asking for almost $1 billion in Oakland. And they pretty much got it, but they still walked away. So at this point, I don't know what his finances are. I know he's going to have to sell part of the team just to get this across the finish line, but he'll still maintain his majority ownership. But yeah, there's a lot of problems, and the financing just isn't there. I keep hearing about it. They're just not there yet in Vegas.
Casey Pratt, ABC7 out in the Bay Area. Thanks so much for hopping on with us, man. We really appreciate it. It was great seeing you out at Fans Fest in Oakland this weekend. And we will be catching up with you anytime there's something involved with A's relocation. You've been all over that story as well as anybody. And we appreciate your time, man.
Well, A's fans were called Dudes of the Week by Ken Rosenthal. You were two of my favorite dudes. And Kyle, I'm sorry I didn't get to see you as much as I thought. Like, I was with you before the gates opened, and then the gates opened, and it was like a sea of humanity, and I don't think I ever saw you again. It was crazy.
Two things happened
so,
simultaneously.
Thank you for showing up.
You started having to MC the entire event, and I had access to beer. And so that's just kind of... And that was just kind of how it went. So, no, it was great.
I was so jealous, man. All I wanted was beer. I drank water the whole time.
You know what? That's responsible, and that's why you're a professional, and I'm where I'm at. So, really appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Casey.
Casey Pratt, ABC 7 on the Bay Area. And I want to reiterate real quick before we hit the break, and we'll get back to basketball. That Fans Fest was put on entirely by fan groups.
Oh, yeah.
The Oakland 68s and the Last Dive Bar, the group of people who I don't want to start naming individuals because I only know a couple of them and I don't want to leave people out. It is a group of people with the 68s and the Last Dive Bar who put so much time and effort and energy into this event. They got no help from the A's. The A's did nothing.
Horrible.
And they still had Fans Fest in Oakland outdrawing the A's spring training opener at HoHoCam Stadium in Arizona. So shout out to the 68s, shout out to Last Dive Bar, and shout out to Casey Pratt for all of his coverage of A's relocation. All right, we need to hit the break. More Kings coming up next on ESPN 1320.
Listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Oh, thanks.
I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. The Kings taking on the Miami Heat at Golden 1 Center tonight. 7 o'clock is your tip-off. No Tyler Hero. No Terry Rozier. No Thomas Bryant. No Josh Richardson. No Nikola Jovic. No Jimmy Butler. So let's play a fun game before we get to keys to victory for the Kings. Which Miami Heat players are available? Duncan Robinson, yes, he's in. Jaime Jaquez is in. Bam Adebayo, in. Kevin Love, in. That's four. Josh Richardson, out. Haywood Highsmith, in. Caleb Martin, count it. No Jimmy Butler, no Tyler Hero, no Thomas Bryant. Somebody named Orlando Robinson?
In or out?
We'll call him in.
Okay.
All right. I don't see him listed on the injury report here. Nikola Jovic, out. Terry Rozier, out. Drew Smith,
out.
Out. And then is DeLon Wright with them now?
Yes. DeLon Wright is there.
DeLon Wright. DeLon Wright revenge game coming up.
Okay. So Orlando Robinson is questionable with lower back spasms. Drew Smith is out. Yeah, what a mess.
And then they have some two-way guys.
We have like eight players.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah.
Four, six, seven, eight. Yeah, with DeLon Wright.
Yeah.
And then maybe they have a two-way guy or two.
Yeah, I don't... let me see. Their two-way guys are with them, so...
All right, maybe we'll see some Jamal Kane or Cole Swider tonight.
All right.
Hey, that Alondis Williams, Kevin Herter matchup. James, your thoughts?
Oh.
It's a... Alondis Williams, real quick. Went to Wake Forest, Oklahoma, and something called Triton College. He is the only NBA player to ever come from there.
Really?
Or to ever play there. Yeah. Fun fact about Alondis Williams. Triton College.
I just, every time you say Triton, I think of...
Little Mermaid?
Anchorman. No.
I stabbed a man in the heart.
I think you killed a man. I was going to talk to you about that. You want to
lie low. Lay low for a while.
You might want to lay low for a while.
All right, let's talk about how the Kings stay on track and get a victory tonight against the Miami Heat with our keys to the game. James, what is your first key to a Kings victory?
Which Kings team shows up?
Good question.
That's the biggest question. Does the team that showed up the last couple of games, is that who we get to see? Or is it going to be the team that like loses to the Detroit Pistons or the Charlotte Hornets that doesn't take the game serious, that doesn't look their opponent in the eye and give them the respect they deserve? Yeah. Which team shows up?
Yep. That's... I think that ties in with one of mine. Hang on. Let me... yep. All right. That ties in with one of mine, which is stay locked in defensively. And I think if you get a engaged defensive effort from the Kings, you're going to see the best version of the Kings. Because I don't think we're ever going to see a night where we're like, man, they were so good offensively, but ooh. Or I'm sorry, they were so good defensively, but ooh, what were they doing on offense? Like, they're going to be fine. They have an anchor with Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
They have a player who's capable of being the best player on the court any given night in De'Aaron Fox. Like, they have enough guys who can shoot and put the ball in the basket. That's fine. If they're locked in defensively, I think that they're going to win a ton of games down the stretch here, including tonight. So I'd like to see them really, really good on that end.
Okay.
Number two.
Wounded prey. Jimmy Butler and Josh Richardson accounted for 55 points last time you played these guys. Now they don't have Rozier. They don't have Tyler Hero. All of their scores, their natural scores, are out for this game.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take them lightly. Go in there and, you know, like, again.
Don't be the first half Kings?
Yes. Don't disrespect them. But also, this is a team that's wounded. They're going to fight. Mm-hmm. They got eight guys, nine guys. They're going to go out there and they're going to play their butts off. You need to not only match their intensity, but show that you've matched their intensity with a higher level of skill.
Yes. That's it.
And beat them.
That's it. If you match their intensity, you win by a bunch.
Yes.
Yes. That's it. All right. Number two for me, have the best player on the court. I don't care if it's Domantas Sabonis. I don't care if it's De'Aaron Fox. One of those two needs to be the best player on the court. Maybe it's Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray hasn't had a huge game in a while. Maybe it's him. I don't know. But the Heat with this roster, we cannot walk out of tonight saying, oh, Bam Adebayo or I don't even know who else is playing for them. Kevin Love or Duncan Robinson or Jaime Jaquez. Man, they were the best player tonight. Kings need to have the best player on the court.
No, I think so. They should probably have the best five players on the court.
That's a great point.
So
number three for you.
Number three for me is attack Bam. No Thomas Bryant. Get Bam Adebayo in foul trouble and then beat up on Kevin Love because that's pretty much who they got behind him at this point. So Sabonis needs to get physical. He needs to get physical quickly and get Bam out of the game as quickly as possible. And if you do that, they really just don't have any depth, whether it's because of injury or it's because, you know, they don't have any depth at that position.
Yeah. Number three for me, the Kings do have some depth, and I think we're going to need to see a team effort tonight. You had Keegan Murray 37 minutes last night. Domas played 36. Harrison Barnes, 36. De'Aaron Fox only played 33. But they need more from Davion Mitchell. They need more from Chris Duarte. They need more from Trey Lyles. On the second night of a back-to-back, you cannot leave it all to your starters again and say, yeah, hey, go get him, because then you're ostensibly playing shorthanded as well.
Yeah.
So I would like to see more productive nights. It doesn't have to be all the bench guys. They don't need 40 points from the bench or anything nuts like that. But I want to see, you know, Trey Lyles hit two or three threes, and I want to see Davion Mitchell have an effective stint. I want to see Chris Duarte knocking down a couple of threes and playing good defense. They just need top to bottom an overall good team effort tonight.
Yeah, and I would also say, Kyle, when it comes to that, like, the Kings need to remember that they have a game on Wednesday against the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's three games in four nights.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that the first two are back-to-backs at the beginning of the three games in four nights. Like, tomorrow is going to be a rest day, but also a travel day to go get to Denver. You need to make sure that if you can somehow give these guys a break, if you can somehow limit Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox to, you know, 26 to 28 minutes somehow by thumping a team that's totally shorthanded, then you need to do that.
I'm not going to ask for that. Because I feel like there's been 10 games this year where we've been like, go be up by 25 going into the fourth quarter and rest your dudes in the fourth. And then sure enough, it's a tie game with a minute and a half to go. So I'm not going to ask for that. I will just say that would be an added benefit.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can go into the game going like, yeah, hey, we're going to be up 30 and then we'll rest in the fourth. You can't do that.
No.
But by virtue of taking the opponent seriously, and being locked in on both ends of the court, you will be up by a bunch by the end of the game, and you'll be able to rest some guys.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's how they handle this. And, you know, again, we talk about the Kings' lack of defense on defending the three-point line and stuff. Mm-hmm. Most of their quote-unquote hot shooters are out. So don't let Duncan Robinson beat you. Like, that's going to be, like, the one guy who can really make it rain. Don't let him beat you. Hayward Highsmith can shoot a little bit. But overall, like, this is a game where maybe you do pack the paint, maybe you make life really difficult, maybe you run a zone for a little bit of time to help save your legs a little bit, but you need to throttle up when it's time to go, when it's time to beat this team, you need to have the juice to do it.
Yeah, I think so. I am shook right now. You mentioned Miami's three-point shooting, and so I went to go look at, you know, who's in, who's out. Did you know Jimmy Butler is shooting 44.7% from three this year?
Yeah.
It's only on 2.2 a game, but he shot 35% on 1.6 last year, 23.3% on two attempts the year before that, and 24.5% on two attempts a game in 2020, 2021. He has been god-awful from beyond the arc, and this year he just can't miss.
He's good.
Good little player, Jimmy Butler.
He's a good little player, Jimmy Butler. 34-year-old Jimmy Butler. Playoff Jimmy.
How has he never... He's never won a Defensive Player of the Year.
No, but he's been all NBA first... Well, I don't know, first team, but all NBA defensive team for sure.
Second team. He's never been a first team all defense.
Okay.
Been second team a bunch of times.
He's a quality player. I mean, we've talked about this. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is he not?
He's definitely a Hall of Famer.
I'm thinking we're leaning more towards that at this point. But yeah, he's made a nice little career out of himself for a guy who was taken with the 30th overall pick in the draft.
Alas, he's not playing tonight.
That's right.
Kings don't have to worry about him. I think they go in and get a win against Miami at home. And if they do, I will feel a lot better about them moving forward. And taking this little run of good play more seriously. But if they start playing down to opponents again, feels like we're back at square one.
That's true. And this is a game where they're looking to go 11 games over 500 for the first time this season. So that's big.
All right. We got more basketball coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle. He's James. In case you missed a little intro bit there. A couple of odds and ends before we dive back into the Kings' best win of the year. They beat the Clippers last night, 123-107. Just a really, really impressive overall performance. Before we dive back into that, a couple of notes for you, James.
Okay.
Did you see Peter King announced his retirement today?
Yeah, I read his. Yeah. I love Peter King, too.
Oh. We're muted on the stream because I forgot to unmute myself. But it's okay. We're back now. What's up, Chad? All right. Peter King announced his retirement today, Monday morning quarterback. He did say that he announces that retirement with an asterisk because he's sure he's going to work on something, which makes sense. He's been writing about the NFL for 40 years. I'm guessing it's probably hard to just stop. But I did think it was interesting. In his column, he talks about he was sitting at the Super Bowl this year and was like, I wonder what it's like to listen to the announcers. I wonder what it's like to watch the commercials. I wonder what, because he's been to 40 consecutive Super Bowls.
That's wild.
That is insanity.
Yeah.
And so good for Peter King.
No, it is good for him. I'm, you know, you want to see guys like him, who a full-on legend, like be able to do whatever he wants on his own terms when he's young enough to do, you know, to go out and experience life in a different way. And he mentioned just how difficult things, his job has been on his wife and his daughters. And, you know, yeah. I think that that's something that, that people don't get, like this job that you do, it never shuts off. There's no way to shut it off.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think people, like how many times I've literally pulled my laptop out while sitting out to dinner with my wife and had to write a story and then send it in and post it really quickly.
Oof.
That's just, that's the life. That's yeah. what you sign up for. Yep. And it's just different. And so good for him for being able to step away
yep.
On his own terms.
Yep. No doubt. Second thing. The NFL Combine starts this week. I'm not looking forward to it. I hate the Combine so much. I can't believe, and we're going to talk Kings Clippers in a second, I promise, guys. But I can't believe that in 2024, with all the evidence we have, that exercising in front of people has no bearing on whether that player is good at football or not. And yet we're still going to sit here, we, the royal we, not necessarily you and me, not necessarily people in the chatty house, but the royal we, are going to sit here, and when this player we've never heard of runs a 4.32 40, we're going to be like, wow, what, that guy should be, go in the first round. What a guy. He's so fast. Look how fast he is. And we're going to just do that again. And I can't believe that we're doing another year of it. That's all.
The NFL draft process is the longest, most drawn out ridiculousness. Because it's, when it's a draft? A draft is like 4 months from
April 27th, I believe, is when it starts.
It feels like it's so far away. I don't know.
There's free agency to go. Teams get to sign free agents before the draft.
That's also weird how that's inverted. Because the NBA goes the other way.
I think it's the right way to do it.
You think so?
Yeah. You go spend your money in free agency, see what you can do, and then you fill in the holes via the draft.
Okay.
That way you know, like, when you're drafting, hey, we just signed a star defensive end. Maybe if you're deciding between a defensive end and a corner, you now know that you can draft a corner.
It's interesting. I wonder why it is that the NBA chooses to go.
I have no idea. I've always thought they should flip it, though.
Hmm. All right.
We should have, that'd be a fun discussion at some point when there's not basketball to talk about.
Okay.
Just kind of, what would that look like?
Yeah.
If things flip, particularly like through the Kings lens, like if they got to do free agency before the draft, what would that look like? I agree that with Tyler Jennings in the chatty house, like the combine's cool to watch, but I'm not making any major takeaways from it. I'm sorry. I just can't. I can't do it anymore.
Okay.
And I'm going to write about it. Check it out, NinersWire.com. I'll have combine content for you. I'll be thrilled. Be thrilled to
all
do
the
it.
Defensive backs and yeah. offensive linemen that the 49ers should draft.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Tight end in each round, a defensive end in each round. I got posts for days.
Is there a Debo Samuel replacement?
Oh, buddy. Teams have been trying to come up with the next Debo Samuel for 4 years.
That's right.
I promise it's not there. Is this guy good Debo comp? No! He took 3 handoffs in college. That doesn't mean he's Debo. Anyways, last thing. This is rich. You know what? I'm going to put a pin in this for the handoff.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to put a pin in the last thing for the handoff because I think Casey's coming in today.
Oh, he was already in here.
No, I know, but I don't know if he was just getting set up for Damian or if he was coming in to set up for himself.
That's a good question.
I don't know, but I'm going to put a pin in this last thing for the handoff because I think it'll be a fun discussion. All right, let's talk about good, bad, and ugly from the Kings. Best win of the year. In my best win of the year, are you there?
Which
I keep saying that like
I'm still holding
as though
to,
we're all
the Denver game to me is still the best win of the year. I think that last night's game was a top 3 or 4. I think it's a really, really good win against
top 3.
Yeah, I just think that
at Minnesota?
Yeah, that's big.
I was up there.
The Denver. Game. Yeah.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
Last night.
I'd have to go through.
I think those are a pretty definitive top 3. Ooh, the Monk game winner against Golden State. and kind of getting the Golden State obstacle out of the way. I mean, okay, that's a team you can beat.
Okay.
And getting that, I think that was a big deal too.
No, I think so too. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go through and rank them.
The circumstance of last night, this is a team that they've had trouble with this year. Given what it did in the standings, given the way they closed it out with De'Aaron Fox on the bench, even though he was the best player last night, they didn't even need him to put that game away. How they looked defensively, that was just the maximized, I think, version of this version of the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, you make a really strong case for that to be the win of this season. I just think that there's something about heading into the All-Star break on the right tone and fighting through the second night of a back-to-back, and that back-to-back being a road and road back-to-back, and it being in Phoenix and then Denver, and you lost a tough one in Phoenix, and you come back and you find a way to beat the champs.
Yeah.
On the road, last day before a week off. And so for me, I think it sets a table for what's happening right now.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
The Oklahoma City game, Cameron in the chatty house brings this one up. Oklahoma City with no De'Aaron Fox at Golden One Center. I believe that was this in-season tournament game.
Yeah, that's possible.
It definitely was. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's why I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was that was a really, really good one as well. That'll be another summer topic. We can rank the wins from this year.
Keon Ellis started. Yep.
Yeah, he sure did. Didn't D'Lo and KZ do that last year? I don't know.
I think they did do that last year.
Anyways, where were we? Good, bad, and ugly.
Good, bad, and the ugly.
I thought the Kings' defensive effort overall was awesome last night, but the Clippers went 8 of 27 from 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was a key for me here was there were a lot of tough, tough three-pointers. It was James Harden step backs from well beyond the arc. And like, does he hit those sometimes? For sure. But that's a very tough shot. You'll live with that if he's going to make them. They were contesting threes. They were doing a good job rotating. It was not Norman Powell by himself in the corner or Terrence Mann by himself in the corner. And they hit 9 threes combined because the Kings couldn't figure out how to get a defender in their face.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's going to be the how we judge this team down the stretch. How well do they adapt? How well do they figure out the way to fix the problems that they have? Like, there are obvious issues that they have as a team. How do you get through and fix those things? And Kyle, I'm going to point out, like, we keep talking about how well teams are shooting against the Kings, but I'd also say that the fact that the Kings 27 three-pointers against them last night, 25 in the game against San Antonio, 26 in the game against Denver.
Yeah.
Like, that's, we're starting to not only see the percentage improve of defense, but also the number come down, which means that you're getting there faster and you're stopping guys from actually shooting.
Running guys off the line. Yeah.
Yeah, you're running them off the line. And so I think if the Kings can, if they can keep doing that, you're eventually going to see that number drop. You're gonna see the percentage drop because it's showing you that they are taking it serious, that they are trying to like get in there and fix what's going wrong.
Yeah, and you wrote down their doubling on Kawhi and making sure that he wasn't beating him.
Yep.
I mentioned this earlier, it was a lot of Norman Powell. And when you're gonna play a team like the Clippers that has Russell Westbrook and James Harden and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, if you're gonna make it a Norman Powell game, you will take that every single time.
I agree.
Yeah.
Sorry, yawn.
No, all good. That's how I felt watching Norman Powell play basketball last night.
Well, I mean, Norman Powell's a really, really good shooter.
He's a fine player.
You don't want to leave him open, but you also don't want Kawhi systematically destroying you with 17-foot jumpers that don't even touch the rim. Like, that's because it's almost disheartening the way he beats you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they did a really good job of not just limiting those attempts by him, but getting the ball out of his hands. Mm-hmm. And the double team to me was really, really strong.
Yeah. Norman Powell, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc, but 3 of 8 from 2.
Mm.
Is a lot. He took the second most shots on the team last night.
That's okay. You'll take it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. What else do you have for good last night?
Fox was the best player on the court.
Yep.
Sabonis was the second best player on the court.
Yep.
Starters showed up.
They sure did.
I thought the starters were incredible. And then Monk showed up late. And shout out to Davion Mitchell, too. He had a couple of big threes that helped finish that game off.
Yeah, so. He hit the dagger, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that was like the possession before. I think he hit a three, then they called a timeout, and then Fox came on the floor. Or there's a foul, then Fox came on. I don't know, but either way. Yeah, I got nothing. Nothing for you. I was just going to reiterate what you said. And I'm that De'Aaron Fox was, what I was going to say was that De'Aaron Fox is being the best player on the court is to me the most important thing. And again, that's not to overlook what Domantas Sabonis is doing and his importance to the team. It's obviously vital. And we talked about if they're going to match his energy, which I think they did last night, if they're going to let him be their emotional anchor, then they're going to be fine if they follow him there. But De'Aaron Fox, from a production standpoint, when he is as good as he was last night and attacking, getting downhill, getting the float game going, getting the mid-range going, that's when I think you see a maximized Kings. And it starts with De'Aaron Fox.
No, I'm with you. So yeah.
Bad stuff from last night.
The bench took forever to show up. I don't know how many points Monk scored in the fourth quarter, but I'm going to guess it was most of his points. He took a little while to get going. And then Davion hit the two big threes, but they had 25 points from the second unit total. And that just shows you that like there was not a lot of like evening out of the game. So they need to figure that one out because you can't walk into every game thinking that it's like starters or bust. And that's what I kind of feel like with this team. A lot of times it's like starters or bust. Yeah, their bench scored 15 in the fourth quarter of the 25 total they scored.
Man.
That's tough. Now, it's good because it puts you over the top. And Malik scored 7 and had 3 assists in the fourth. Got that two-man game with Domas. But you need to even that out. And you need to have guys like Trey Lyles. And they need opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, man. It feels like it's been a long time since we've been like, wow, really productive game from the Kings bench.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
We talked about it earlier. If you're going to see one of those, though, tonight's a night for it.
Yep.
If second night of a back-to-back, starters played a ton last night. If you can get your bench going, this is the time for it. What was ugly last night?
James Harden. And Russell Westbrook, like, father time is calling. Like, Harden scores 20 points but runs a negative 25 on the night. And he has 8 assists, and he's still putting up numbers. But I thought the 10 free throws, more than one of those were a joke. Mm. And I thought that he was given the benefit of being James Harden.
Of course.
But he shoots 4 of 13. And, look, I thought that Russell Westbrook didn't like the way that Davion Mitchell defended him. James Harden didn't like the way that De'Aaron Fox was able to defend him. And that's because they still think that they're superstars, and they're not. And that's a tough pill because you're not going to get the same calls, or at least you shouldn't get the same calls that you got when you were, 28 years old and on top of the world.
Yeah, when you are missing Paul George, it changes the calculus of this Clippers team a lot, and it means more James Harden as a scorer. And that as great as he was and as good as he still is, you saw it last night. It's just not there. Russell Westbrook, same thing. Like, there's a reason he went to the bench. His impact and role are different. And when you're going, hey, replace Paul George, I just don't think that's in their bags anymore.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not to say they can't go win. It's not to say the Clippers aren't dangerous. I just think the Clippers need to really be at full strength if they're going to make noise.
Yeah, they definitely need to reserve those guys as much as they can, and I think that that's what we're going to see in the final 25 games for them. They're going to have to give out breaks to some of these guys, and some nights you're not going to have a full arsenal, and you're going to lose to a team like the Kings because you can't run Paul George out there for 82 games every season.
You have I disagree with this. You have under ugly, it was a lot of minutes for the starters on the first night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
But that's the Clippers, man. That's a really, really good team. I didn't think there was really a scenario, especially when the bench is playing like they were playing.
Well, I think my point was, I mean, you led by 18. And you had an opportunity to knock them out in the third quarter, and you didn't. And then what that means is going forward, you got to deal with the fact that that your starters are playing. I mean, 36 minutes for Harrison, 37 for Keegan, 36 for Domas.
Yeah.
Fox got lucky to play 33, but yeah.
All right. It's time for the handoff. Let's bring in Kenny Caraway, D'Lo and KC. That is coming up at noon right here on ESPN 1320. They will be taking you up to 4 o'clock. You can also catch them on KSFM from 3 to 7. Don't ask us how it works. It just does. I wanted to, Kenny, a good win for the Kings last night. Kings Clippers, you guys will have plenty of that. Let me get your mic turned on. You guys are going to talk about it, and we'll talk about it, I guess, maybe a little bit. Did you guys hear, well, I saved this specifically for this. Did you guys hear LeBron's comments last night about the officiating in the Lakers game?
I heard about them. I have not heard the comments.
So LeBron basically said, because the Lakers shot 8 free throws to Phoenix's 19. Uh-huh. And LeBron is like, we have attackers. We have guys who get downhill. That's why we draw fouls. And there's this narrative out there that we shoot more fouls than other teams, but that's because we attack the basket and we don't take a lot of threes. So I have some numbers.
I watched that game last night. I didn't see a whole lot of attacking.
That was right. It was not. So real quick, the Lakers have had 2 games this year where they, so he's complaining about a 19-8 free throw discrepancy. Mm-hmm. Against Boston, okay, pretty good team. Yep. The Lakers out free throwed them 26-7. And against Denver, the defending champs, in a game earlier this year, the Lakers out free throwed them 22-7. The Lakers are attempting the 6th most free throws per game and allowing the fewest free throws per game. And this dude has the audacity to, in his post-game presser, be like, the officiating, man.
The one thing I don't like about LeBron, and I love LeBron James.
I tend to like him as well.
That's my guy. Is he does a lot of complaining. Like, it's always somebody else's fault. You know, it's the refs.
Yeah.
It's the coaches. You know what I mean? It's players around him. I feel like I'm definitely wrong about this, but it doesn't feel like he doesn't do, like, a whole lot of galvanizing. Like, hey, guys, we got to be better. Let's handle our business, at least publicly. You know, publicly. Maybe he's saying that stuff in the locker room. And, you know, in the confines of that team. But publicly, it's always, you know, somebody else's fault why things aren't going the way he wants them to go.
Yeah, not a lot of accountability.
Okay, Lake Show. Wait,
that was too much. That was too far. That was, I don't.
What?
I don't know. That was a bridge too far.
Boom!
I just thought that was really rich that I'm sitting there watching SportsCenter last night, and I get a cut of LeBron James going like, "Oh, there's this free throw disparity in this narrative."
That's trash. Why. They were down by like 20 for a good part of the first half. They fought back to get it to 5, and then they just missed a bunch of shots. LeBron being one of them, missed a bunch of shots to try and get it even closer, and then they were giving up open threes. That's why they lost. It's not good.
Yeah.
They weren't getting foul calls.
Yeah, it's wild.
They're not
to me.
Good enough. They're,
that's
that.
It. Yes. That's it.
Yeah, they're the island of misfit toys. Mm. What were your thoughts on Bob Myers calling the game last night?
Poor Bob.
Bob Myers, who seems like a really good guy, seems, you know, just really pleasant, really nice guy. That was about as bad as I've ever heard a game being called on a national broadcast.
It was tough.
Yeah.
That was awful.
That was awful. It was like they asked him, like, right before tip-off, like, oh, Bob, hey, we need you to, can you jump in?
Hey, Bob, we're going to need you to step in.
And he just had a thing, he's like,
Steve Smith stubbed his toe, he can't go.
Call Jamal Crawford tonight, he's got a stomach ache, you got to go. He goes, and what he said was, oh, man, I don't have no stats in front of me, let me just see real quick. Kings are the worst percentage team at the 3. They're the best. All right, I'm gonna live on that. Hey, I don't know. I mean, look, it's the worst team defending the 3 against the best team shooting it.
Hey, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
Science. And the only reason Sabonis gets all those free throws, cause, I mean, all those assists, is because they run the ball through him.
I was listening to you guys on the way in, and you said exactly what I was saying. What were Draymond Green's assists?
Like, Bob, come on. Come on, Bob.
They were
the greatest two shooters in the history of the NBA.
And look, he even tried to. Oh, Bob. He even tried to be like one shot. I think Kevin Herter missed it, but it was like a dribble handoff. And he's like, see, look at that one. He just kind of handed the ball off. Like, and that's an assist.
It's like,
he didn't do a whole lot. He just kind of handed it off. But I'm sorry. That's all Draymond ever does.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? And then. Like I said,
don't sleep on the driving kick.
No, then they tried, look. And then they tried to take one of his assists away. They're like, De'Aaron Fox, he dribbled the ball about four times before that one.
On a fast break.
It's so weird.
It was one, but I don't know. Is that a hockey assist?
It was the most bizarre. It was the most bizarre broadcast.
I like Bob Myers, too. I've heard him talk a number of different.
No, he's great in the studio. He needs to never be on a broadcast, and that's fine. It's not for everybody. Yeah. Like, it's not play by play and color commentary are very different than being in the studio. If you're great in the studio, that doesn't mean you're going to be good at color commentary and vice versa. Bob is really good in the studio. on the color commentary, okay. Maybe don't do that.
I don't know if he's good on TV in general.
Yeah,
he's. He's very nice. Like, he comes off very nice. He doesn't come off like a jerk you know, like some of these guys are when they talk about the Kings. He just came off really uninformed.
Best win of the year for the Kings last night, you think?
Man. I thought about this. I'll get off the fence. I'll say, that was a big-time win.
What were the other ones in the mix for you?
The Orlando game.
Ooh, the Orlando game. I don't think we mentioned that one.
That was a big one. Denver before the break.
Yeah,
was a big win. I mean, you can kind of maybe lump the two together. Denver after Detroit, and then a game or two later, the one before the break. So maybe if you want to put that two little set together. But, I mean, this was a big one. This was a team that had dominated you. Oh, the Warriors in-season tournament finale was a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a team that had dominated you the previous three times they played, or two times they played, whatever it was.
Yep.
And I know they didn't have Paul George, but they came out ready to play regardless of who was out there. And De'Aaron Fox, we'll talk about it a little bit more. He seems like he understands the moment. He understands what time of the schedule we're at, what time of the season it is, and he is ready to turn up.
No doubt. All right, D'Lo, KC coming up next. They're rocking with you until noon, talking plenty of Kings and taking a look at craziness in the West.
A lot of craziness.
It's so wild. Can't wait to listen to you guys. Stay locked in to ESPN 1320. For James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We've been The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on Sacramento Sports Leader.
We got a big crowd in here today. You guys mind hitting the thumbs up for us?
They love to see the Kings win.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.